Did you sense God here this morning? Did God do anything in your heart this morning? Did God do anything in your heart this morning?
Yes.
Amen. It's in times like this you wish you were just at a conference and you're like, you had 10 hours or something like that, and it's good to let our kids go. And I'm going to take the next 25 minutes, take a bit of liberty, it's 10 past, to go through my sermon. But I'm not going to go through it as just as a sermon. I want to take my points and pray my points over you and release the presence of God and the power of God that's in His Word into your life. God, this is not just coming to some type of a gathering on a Sunday. If you come with that mentality, you probably get more than you came for anyway. But if you come with an expectation that God wants to meet with me, the most likelihood is God will meet with you. But if you want to come just to feel good, well, maybe you'll just feel good. But feel good is not enough, is it? You can go to the Flicks and feel good. You can go to McDonald's and feel good for about 20 minutes at least. You can, you know, who wants to feel good? Who just wants that? Like Sharon brought this morning in the upstairs where the team meets, and we prayed, and Sharon brought, like, God wants us to embrace transformation. He wants to transform lives, because you know why? Transform lives transforms cities and communities and families. And God is into transformation, and He wants to do this. And last week, we went through some of the points of last week was like that. To say to you, when I say the cross or the blood of Jesus, what comes to your mind? Most Christians will say, just hold on to it, I'll get to that in the end, right to the offering. So if you want to get your offering ready before, well, we'll get to that at the end. Some people say, well, the blood of Jesus has forgiven my sins, or my sins are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. And you know, a lot of us, a lot of Christians in the world live at the basis of just having their sins forgiven. But the blood of Jesus has attained for us so much more than just the forgiveness of sins. In fact, the forgiveness of sins, I could say, is the starting point. It's number one on the list. From that point, you move into greater things and greater understanding of what was accomplished on the cross and actually what God wants us to do. So many of us stand at the cross and we're always, always, always seeking forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. But the cross is more than just about forgiveness. The cross is to enable us to conquer sin. So that we go to the cross and we go beyond the cross and move into the resurrection power of Jesus. Because if we just stay at the cross, every single time you or I mess up, we'll keep coming back to that spot where God is like, no, that's where your sins are forgiven. Full stop. The sins that we commit, we confess them, but we don't have to go all the way back to where we began. We confess them and bring them under the blood, but we keep on going. And the enemy and our own heart has such a way of condemning us. See, if I sin tomorrow, when I confess that, I'm back full into the full authority of God before I sinned. I don't have to go back and do penance and pay for this and pay for that. It's already being paid. I'm just acknowledging it by my confession that He already carried, paid the price in full for everything that I have done. If I don't accept that, I carry the weight of my own sin. And I want to tell you, it's heavy. George Muller, a great missionary, spent 6 months going to America on a boat, because that's how long it took back then. Brought revival to England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland. The Lord told him to go to America, and on the way over, and this was a man that if you read his autobiography or the biographies that's out there, you'll read and you go, this man is powerful. This man has seen God, he was in incredible ways by God, and he's on the boat. And he says when he was on the boat, the Lord revealed to him. These words frightened me when I read it. The Lord revealed to him the mystery of a sin. Meaning that the sin was covered, but some of the effects that sin has on us is like a mystery. But the blood of Jesus goes right into the depths of where that sin is rubbed into our lives. And it removes it. That before God, God doesn't see your sin or my sin. Because it's covered with the blood of Jesus. And here's some of the things that we said. First of all, your price and my price. Everything that was measured out. Every item that needed to be met on God's list for justice was met in Jesus Christ. Everything. Jesus was on the cross and he said, it's finished. The deal is done. The contract is being sealed. Jesus met all the requirements of God that was going to be dished out for sin. And we talked about last week that in the Old Testament, in Exodus, that the judgment was coming over Egypt. And you can read it yourself or get last week's CD. But God says, this is how judgment and disaster is not going to come to your house. Get a lamb. Get the blood of the lamb. Put it in a bucket. Get a hyssop. Put it in. And put on the lintel of your door the blood of the lamb, which was a symbol of the blood of the lamb that was going to come. The Lamb of God, Jesus. So they cover the lintel. The angel of death comes over. The only houses that it didn't touch and disaster didn't touch was the ones that was under the protection of the blood of Jesus. But here's the thing, that if the blood of Jesus was left in the bucket and never applied to the lintel of the house, disaster would have come upon that house. And in old Pentecostal circles that I grew up in, I loved standing in my room and pleading the blood of Jesus. But pleading the blood of Jesus is like being in a court of law, pleading something as if we were pleading it against the devil, or the devil had some sway on it. No, that you didn't plead it enough. And a couple of months ago, when I opened the prayer room, the Lord says to me, no, don't plead the blood anymore. It's like revelation. That you're asking for something that's already done. What you need to do is claim what the blood achieved, and you need to apply it and enforce it. That I'm not just asking for forgiveness, I'm confessing that sin has already been forgiven. That's why Peter says, sin has no power now of condemnation, only the power we give it. Because the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus, he was already condemned for our sin. It seems a bit strange talking about the blood and the cross and sin coming up to Christmas. It's weird. Because in normal church calendars, we go along calendars and we allow calendars to dictate what we should be preaching. So in a normal, nice sin, we'd be speaking right now about the manger. And the manger is good. We're just staying at the manger. It's never going to set you free. I just believe God is going to give us the greatest gift this Christmas. Freedom and liberty. Or freedom in liberty. Come on. I said that for a reason. I used to think this, just to get sin in its context. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all done it. So, don't look at me any holier than you. We've all sinned. And we all fail. But I used to think when I read the Bible first 21 years ago, that when I became a Christian, if I was around back then, I'd have saved Jesus. Because I've a sort of a hero complex. I have a Superman outfit. And only joking. Sounds a bit weird. I actually have got a hero complex, but I'm not the hero. I believe I can do anything through Christ Jesus. I really do. But I used to think, I would have been like Peter with the sword. Come here, you. Chopping your man's ear off. I'll save you, Jesus. But because I'm a sinner, and my sin put him on the cross, My sin was crying, crucify him. I'm a Christ killer. Because of your sin, you're a Christ killer. Taken to the hill, with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, spear in his side, thorns on his head, away with him. We would have been all there. Get rid of this Jesus. Get rid of him. Even the ones that were following him ran off. We would have all been in the category. But the reality is he came to die. He came to die for me. He came to die for you. He came to die for the Christ killers. He came to die for those who spear at him and punched him and plucked his beard out. Not because the devil sent him, but he came willingly to meet what the Father had dished out was needed to be met. But for a lot of us, we leave the blood in the bucket. I have my sins forgiven. We go back month in, week out, month in. We rehash the Old Testament priesthood. We go back and back and back. God wants to set you free. He wants to move us into resurrection power. And here's what we went through last week. I'm just going to pray these over us because there's loads in this. Pleading the blood is like begging an argument as if or beseeching, like in a defensive mode. But the attitude must be stronger than that, because we are warriors, blood bought, blood reconciled, blood saved, conquerors, washed in the blood, healed by the blood, ransomed by the blood, reconciled to God by the blood, realigned into the purposes of God by the blood of Jesus. So rather than just pleading the blood, we have to enforce what the blood has already purchased for us. See, and what I'm trying to say is these are keys I want to give you to freedom. These are keys I'm applying to my life for freedom. So I'll go through one of them. Redemption. This is what the Bible says. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all sins according to the riches of God's grace. In him we have redemption. We've been bought back. To redeem something is like going in with a coupon or a receipt and saying, here, that was already paid for, can I have it? You are paid for in full. So if my mind and my heart says God doesn't love you, you're a second class Christian. If you don't enforce that word, you'll give in to condemnation. You'll give in to self-pity. Reconciliation. God doesn't want you near him. God can reconcile. Isn't it amazing that we think God can reconcile everyone else to himself, but my sin is too bad? I want to tell you, you're not all that, and neither am I. You're not all that, my friend. Because the Bible says that you've been reconciled to God. He reconciled you and me by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians. There's forgiveness in the reconciliation power of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says this, 1 John 1:7, that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleansed us from all sin. All sin. Not a sin that dogs you to go, that thing you're ashamed of, and that guilt thing that keeps coming up. It's forgiven. And unless you or I enforce the forgiveness of God through the blood on that, it will torment you for the rest of your life. Will it feel any better today? Maybe, but maybe not. We enforce it again tomorrow, till it gets the message, till your own heart gets the message. No, you're not guilty of that anymore, because the price is being paid. There's protection in the blood. There's the right of entry into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus. It says that because of his blood, we can now draw near unto God. We can go into the Holy of Holies with confidence. You want revelation, you want your eyes open, enforce that you can go in to the throne room of God. Because when you go into the throne room of God, you get revelation. Can you see where we can be kept out? There's protection in the blood of Jesus. That God's protection is on you and your family. And when things come against you and your family, if you leave the blood there and you just keep pleading, the Bible says that you have protection, that we need to claim it. We need to enforce it, because you've an enemy and I've an enemy. If you want, you have right of entry, you have protection. And I want to say this to us this morning. Stay in the protection that's in the blood.
Because the goal of your own flesh at times, our own nature that wants to be striking against God. You know that part of us that like doesn't have to be told to do something wrong? It just does it. And it's always controversial before God. It's like it's always the opposite of what God wants for us. See that part of us? The Bible calls that the flesh. And even when your flesh says, no, you can't go in. Or even when the flesh's goal is to get us out of the presence of God. The devil, he is real. And his goal is to get you out of the presence of God. Because when you come out of the presence of God and you give in to his temptation, well, then you go into his restaurant and you eat at his restaurant. And when you eat at his restaurant, his prices are extortion. Then he doesn't go, oh, like for like. You give me an inch, he says, and I'll become a ruler in your life. He'll promise you heaven and give you hell. He'll sweet talk into your ear and stab you in the heart. Because that's just the type of enemy he is. He hates anything that has the image of God on it, i.e. you and me. There's a friend of mine that deliberately came out of the covering of the blood of Jesus. Deliberately, couldn't believe what he went in and done. And on the way to do what he was going to do, he went into a little chapel in town and prayed, God protect me. But yet he wanted to eat in the devil's restaurant. I tell you, we eat in his restaurant, his price is extortion. He ended up on his face with a gun in the back of his head. Nearly lost his life. And nobody says to me, where was God now? Maybe he was in that little chapel or at home. But you can't come out of the presence of God and you can't come out from underneath the protection and eat in the devil's restaurant and then turn around and say, God, where are you? You need to be careful because the enemy has no mercy. God is always merciful. When you come into his presence and you come back under the covering, you are welcomed. But the enemy is the opposite. That if you go into his restaurant, he robs you even more. So, Father, I said I wanted to pray these things. I better do it. I thank you that it's all paid in full for each one of us. That Jesus, that those who accept that you died on the cross for our sins are paid in full. Therefore, I break condemnation off you. I break the power of the voice of condemnation that pushes you down, that condemns you, that keeps on reminding you of your guilt and your shame. The Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks, and the blood of Jesus says to the voice of condemnation, be quiet, be still. I thank you, Lord, that there's protection in the blood of Jesus. I pray your protection and claim the protection over our lives, over our families, over our children, over our property, over our finances, over our relationships. I claim the protection that's in the blood of Jesus. I claim the right of entry. Do you think you can't go into the presence of God? I want to say that there's a red carpet rolled out for you. It's rolled out for you. You're welcomed in. No, there's no position for me. There's no purpose. The blood of Jesus has secured your purpose. He has repositioned you. Listen to what Revelation says. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood has made us, you and me, kings and priests unto God. And to him be the glory forever and ever. In the Old Testament, the only one that could go into the place of the presence of God was the high priest. Once a year. And the Bible says, to him who loved us and washed us with his own blood has made us kings and priests. So if you think that you can't enter in, you're not living according to your inheritance because you are a priest. And not only a priest to enter into the king, into the throne room, but you're a king that enforces the dominion of God in this world. Isn't that cool? So, Father, whatever.
Whoa. Now that's power. Whatever position that is contrary to your position I call you up to the ground of being a priest and a king. Someone who goes into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, and receives revelation. And someone who enforces the dominion of God and the kingdom of God. We have redemption, that you've been redeemed, that you've been purchased by God. Listen to this. You who are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, speaking to Jesus. With your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and nation. That he purchased us out of darkness. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. The blood of Jesus is a, I don't know any other word. I tried to find a nice word to write down. But the blood of Jesus is a cut or off. It cuts off things. Because once we were walking one way, he bore us with his own blood. He opened our eyes to what the blood attained for us, got for us, bought for us, won for us, achieved for us. And he takes us from like walking in darkness, and he buys us and he purchases us and puts us into walking in light. And the Bible says it this way, that if anyone is in Jesus, anyone that has known the covering and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, that the old has gone. Boom! A cutting off. And the new has come. So the blood of Jesus, you know what? This has been in my family for ages. This has been a cycle in our family. The blood of Jesus comes in. Whoosh. That was better than boom, wasn't it? Whoosh. Cuts it off. If you don't know that or accept or enforce that, you'll always walk in darkness. You'll always walk in the old. You'll think, no, the old is where I'll just carry this cross. That's a lie. Because the blood of Jesus cut off your family connections, your family sin, your generation sin. It'll never have to visit your children or their children or their children because the blood of Jesus cuts it off. You go before God and go, God, forgive me. Remember, I done that 20 years ago. God is saying, what are you talking about? That's been cut off. Will you stop confessing something that's been cut off? When you stop asking for forgiveness again and again and again, it's being cut off. It's robbing you all you're ever doing. It's like saying the same thing, but the Bible says, no, it's being cut off. Now you have to enforce the new. That when the old wants its own way, you have to enforce the new onto it by the blood of Jesus. Are you still with me? The blood of Jesus, yeah? Let me just finish this one. Yes, Father, we just thank you. See them cycles. Father, I break them now in the name of Jesus. That the blood of Jesus has caused us, has allowed us, has given us the opportunity to walk in new. So Lord, any old that's hanging on, any old that thinks it's the boss, any old that thinks it can rule and reign in our lives, I cut it off in the name of Jesus. So that we be able to run the race without carrying the old. Last one, yeah? You're an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb. Listen to this, Revelations 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame who? The evil one, Revelation talks. He overcame by the blood of the Lamb. How did you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. The blood of the Lamb, that the Bible says, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus done on the cross, that the devil, Satan, is defeated and the powers of darkness have been broken over our lives. That listen to what it says in Hebrews, that through his death, he destroyed him who held the power of death, that is the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all in a lifetime subjected to a life of bondage. That like he says that he came to and destroyed the works of the enemy, destroyed death, destroyed everything that they... You know, many people are in so much bondage because of their fear of death. And the Bible says because it, through the blood of Jesus, he's broken the power of death. He has delivered us, Colossians, from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That Jesus disarmed the powers and principalities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Can I tell you that you are an overcomer?
that because of his blood, and what is the testimony? He says, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Who did he overcome? The evil one. So when the evil one comes against you, and we know that can be in all different shapes and sizes, it's not someone with two horns sticking out ahead. That's Hollywood. He overcame, destroyed the works of the devil. You're an overcomer. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. What's the word of our testimony? That the blood of the Lamb has overcome the evil one. Because my testimony won't get me anywhere. What, I was broken and out for the count. How is that going to overcome a devil? Well, the testimony is the blood has already done this. The blood has destroyed. The blood has set me free. Now, here's a remedy for you. Here's something to apply to your life. My friend told me up in Newry, a minister here in Dublin told me, this woman was locked up in deep depression for years, years and years. And she came to his meeting and he says, this is what I'm going to tell you. Every day, every time you feel it coming on you, say, the blood of Jesus has set me free. The blood of Jesus set me free. The woman took it as if she went to a doctor and he was giving her a pill. And every morning she got up and she said, kept confessing and declaring and enforcing that the blood of Jesus has set her free from this. She testified a year later. Her husband says, I don't know that woman. I don't know the woman that's up there, because the woman I'd lived with for years was nothing like that. Well, every day, every time she felt something coming on her, she said, the blood of Jesus has set me free. Not will set me free. She confessed that what was already purchased on the cross for her, and she was a free woman. Now here, that can apply to anything. Because I'm after reading you all the things. So maybe this Christmas, this new year, that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is your testimony, which is my testimony. Amen? That we proclaim the power. We stand on the blood. I believe in the blood. I believe this is my testimony, and it has to be your testimony. I testify to the prevailing, overcoming, sin-destroying, devil-destroying power that's in the blood of Jesus. That we sing the songs, we proclaim the songs, we make a song up of the blood of Jesus. What are we doing? We're enforcing the power that's in the blood of Jesus, that is in the blood of Jesus and nowhere else. That we're not beseeching, we're not pleading, that we are warriors, and our war cry has to be, that I will overcome by the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the power that's in the blood. I thank you for the deliverance that is in the blood. And I claim it. I claim it. I claim it. The freedom and the liberty that's in the blood. That I will not be mastered by anything because of the blood of Jesus. And when it tries to master me, I will tell that master that I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. That your works are destroyed. I lay claim, Lord, and apply it in liberty to each one, O God. The freedom and the overpowering power that's in the blood of Jesus. And we say thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. You know, next week we're going to have communion. And we deliberately don't have communion every week here because we don't want it to be a religious thing. But Paul says this, which is really, really incredible. The Apostle Paul says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, 11 or 12, and he says that some dishonor the blood and the body of Jesus. And because of that, he said, some are weak. He was speaking to the church. Some are weak. And you're poorly. And you're sick. And I used to always think that was just about because we've sinned and we come to the table and we don't confess our sin and we go to the table of Jesus and we just sin and we don't care. And we take the body and we recognize the blood and yet we still just sin. And I used to think it was only just that.
But it's more than that. Paul was saying, you know why you're weak, Corinthians? Because you don't understand the power that's in the blood of Jesus. You dishonor the blood and the body of Jesus when you don't understand and enforce what the blood and of Jesus has already done. He says, no wonder we're weak. No wonder you're poorly. No wonder you're sick, because you haven't learned yet how to apply and enforce what's already being bought on your behalf. And I'm saying, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help us that we understand everything that the cross has accomplished for us. That we don't have to live the way we're living if we're living below the standard of what he approaches on the cross for us. It's out of ignorance. It's out of laziness. It's out of a fighting spirit within us. It's like, come on, devil, throw anything you want. I just think the way I'll think like this all the way. Paul says, that's why you're weak. Because you don't understand. He bought us. He paid for us. He reconciled us. That by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. We have to tell our bodies. Because our bodies is going to deny it. No, you're not healed. Look at that sore throat you have. No, you are healed. Well, I'm just under attack and I'm going to accept it. You don't have to. And Jesus, I pray this. As Paul said to the Ephesians church, I pray for us, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts would be open. And that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation about us, so we may know you better. That, Lord, wherever we're living on ground that is poor and weak, would you come now, Lord? Just come now, Lord. And put something in us, Lord. That, Lord, I just have this picture that, you know, I have a picture of like living in a shack or living in a mansion. And we went and we should be living in the mansion, but we're deciding to live in the shack. And when we find out that we really, really, what was really paid for was the mansion, that we get like sort of indignant and, why in the world am I living here? But because I paid for that. And it's like something rises up in you that goes, I shouldn't be living here when I should be living there. And you have a determination to go and go up to the gate, open the gate, walk in, and all the waiters are there and all the servants are there and saying, sir, madam, you're home. And you look and you see your enemy who told you that's where you're supposed to be living, in the shack. You get annoyed because your inheritance said you should be living there. I want to tell you that we have a rag to riches story. That we came with our rags and he gave us his riches. And I can choose to live in me rags or live in his riches. And Lord, and I pray this day that you open our eyes and you open our ears. And if we're living anywhere that's below our inheritance, that we jump up right now and we run out of that place. You were never born to live in a kip. You were never born to live in a pigsty. You were never born to live there. You were never born to live in a PDP. You were never born to live in a cell. You were never born to live in grave clothes. You were never born again to live there. And I release your eyes and your ears and your heart and your mind to conceive. To conceive, to be able to conceive that you're a priest and a king before God. You're a priest and a king before God. And priests don't, and kings don't live in shacks. They live off of the kingdom. They live in the presence. And I release you. If you have a bondage, look at, just walk up to the door and say, I'm moving out of this. Have you been living in some place? I don't want to keep naming them because I can't really name all them. But you know what I'm saying, that you were born to live elsewhere. So I release you to live elsewhere. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I release you to fulfill the purposes of God. I release you to live out the dreams that God has put in you. I release the freedom of the blood, the power of the blood, the redemption of the blood, the reconciliation of the blood, the realignment of the blood, the protection of the blood, the positioning of the blood, the overcoming power of the blood into your world, into your life. And I encourage you to grab a hold of it. And all God's people says, amen and amen. And next week we'll celebrate the cross.